Well, g'day everyone, and thanks for joining us on the journey this week. My name's Jude Hennessy, and I'm just so stoked to be able to bring you what is going to be a fantastic show for the third Sunday in Lent. Got lots of great stuff for you, utilising a lot of the really, really wonderful contributors to the fantastic Lenten program called Comfort. It's being used by tens of thousands of people as they journey towards the Easter events through this Lenten season. And so you're going to hear from the likes of Sister Therese Mills. She's an MGL. She's just a champion. She's going to talk to us about forgiveness today. Great to have Pete Gilmore. Living the Gospel is his much-loved God spot on the journey. He's going to talk to us about silence today and how it truly is golden. Darren McDowell, he's going to talk to us about truth. Mother Hilda Scott has got some great wisdom from the Abbey for us this week. She's going to talk to us about zeal. Interesting word that. She's going to break it open for us, and in the light of Jesus' zeal for his Father's house, what it means for us to have zeal in our life. The wonderful Sister Susanna Edmonds is with us too. She's got a great link to the gospel that we're going to hear shortly about rebuilding the temple of our own hearts. But first up, we're going to hear from Monsignor Graham Schmitzer. He's got a reflection for us on today's gospel. It's from John 2, 13 to 25. And that powerful, deeply meaningful line that's stated by our Lord in the gospel today, that I'll destroy this sanctuary and in 3 days I will raise it up. Monsignor Graham is going to talk about how God's temple now is localized in us, and how he wants to cleanse that temple too. Let's get that underway right now. Let's hear about the cleansing of the temple from Monsignor Graham Schmitzer and the Gospel Reclaimed now by Max Norden. Lots and lots of fantastic music to get through on the show today too. You're going to hear from some wonderful artists, including the psalm that's part of the readings for this weekend, and those beautiful words, Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Let's get cracking. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy and you've joined us on the journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Just before the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting at their counters there. Making a whip out of some cord, he drove them all out of the temple, cattle and sheep as well, scattered the money changers' coins, knocked their tables over, and said to the pigeon sellers, "Take all of this out of here and stop turning my Father's house into a market." Then his disciples remembered the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will devour me." The Jews intervened and said, "What sign can you show to justify what you have done?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this sanctuary. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the sanctuary that was his body. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words he had said. During his stay in Jerusalem for the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he gave. But Jesus knew them all and did not trust himself to them. He never needed evidence about any man. He could tell what a man had in him. The Gospel of the Lord. And now, the Gospel Reflection by Monsignor Graham Schmitzer.
The account of the purification of the temple is found in all four Gospels. Jesus had gone to celebrate Passover, but found people there selling sheep, oxen, and doves for sacrifice. Angry that his Father's house had been used for profit, he made a whip out of some cord and drove them out of the temple. It was not only that a place of prayer was being used for commerce, it was a fact that poor people were being ripped off by the money changers. Roman coins were considered blasphemous because they carried the emperor's head with a Latin inscription, Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest, and so were not allowed in the temple precincts. The temple tax and the money used to buy offerings for sacrifice had to be paid with temple coinage, hence the need for money changers. Perhaps Jesus was thinking of the many times his own parents were cheated. Jesus enters the Jerusalem temple in anger, cleansing it of commercial enterprise. His observers are shocked. Where is his authority for doing this? It is his resurrection. He will raise up the sanctuary they are soon to destroy, the sanctuary which is his body. Only at Easter would this sink in for the disciples. God's presence, once thought to be localized in the sanctuary of the temple, now resides in the body of Christ, as we saw last Sunday in the event we call the Transfiguration. Do we have to wait for death before we can see that body, and thus God's glory? St. Paul gives us the answer. We are the body of Christ. Now God dwells among his people, the church. The early Christians were so convinced of this that they called the building constructed for worship the house for the church, Domus Ecclesiae. It is the people who are the church, not the building. The building simply houses the church. In his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul adds, "Didn't you realize that you were God's temple and that the Spirit of God was living among you? If anybody should destroy the temple of God, God will destroy him, because the temple of God is sacred, and you are that temple." Like the Jerusalem temple, we have been sullied by commerce. Lent is the time to restore prayer and holiness so that Christ's body may truly speak with his voice and touch with his healing power. If the world believes the church is losing ground, it is a judgment on us who are the church. It is a sobering thought and an incredible challenge to the modern Christian. The church has never been without problems. Read the history of the popes. Perhaps the good Pope, John the 23rd, saw in prophecy what he was unleashing when he prayed that the Second Vatican Council would be a new Pentecost, the wind and fire of the Holy Spirit cleansing a stagnant church. Simone Weil, a philosopher beloved by Pope John Paul II, wrote, "You cannot be born in a better epoch than that in which all has been lost." In other words, perhaps in the past we took too much for granted. Perhaps we even hid behind the institution. The future is ours to make.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Light to the eyes, light to the eyes.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
And now, here's Sister Susanna Edmonds.
There is nothing like a child's confidence in his or her mother. Witnessing my niece bump her chin on the playground, I was amazed by the way she sped to my sister, eyes blinded with tears, and flung herself into the waiting arms. How many of us wish we had the childlike confidence to do the same thing with God when the ups and downs of life knock us around? The end of today's gospel, however, implies that the reverse is also true. God longs to entrust himself to us, to find a welcome home in our hearts. While many in Jerusalem saw Jesus' signs and believed, something was still amiss, and Jesus did not trust himself to them. The only explanation given for this by St. John is that Jesus could tell what a man had in him. Just as the forecourt of the temple had become so cluttered by the merchants and money changers that it looked more like a market than like the Father's house, so too the human heart. 10 basic attitudes which clutter our hearts and even can make them inhospitable to God. Idolatry, irreverence, workaholism and its Siamese twin, sloth, ingratitude, hatred, lust, greed, deceit and envy. But lest we be tempted to despair, knowing our habitual struggles and weaknesses, the remedy, not a miracle cure or a wise self-help strategy, but the crucified Christ, the power and wisdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. Therefore, we can be confident that he is not scandalized by our marketplace hearts, but rather is just waiting for us to invite him in. At the Last Supper, Jesus promised, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him." Now, homemaking is messy business, as any parent can attest. And when Jesus starts flipping the tables of our treasured grudges, daydreams, and expectations, the feathers will fly, to say the least. We might want to complain, like the people in the gospel, that it has taken 46 years to build this sanctuary. But his resurrection is the proof that whatever our dreams may be, they are nothing compared with his dreams for us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead desires to live and work in us. May the Holy Trinity find a welcome home in your heart this Sunday. Not a perfect heart, but a heart willing to trust and to let him do unbelievable things in your life.
Well, huge thank you there to Sister Susanna Edmonds. She's a major contributor to this wonderful Lenten program called Comfort, being used right around Australia, indeed right around the world, with international contributors to this daily Lenten journey, this season of Lent, as we journey together and with the Spirit towards the events of Easter. And she spoke to us today about rebuilding the temple of the heart and how the Holy Spirit living and being allowed to work in us creates a welcome heart, able to do amazing things with our life. Thank you so much to Sister Susanna Edmonds. After the break, you're going to hear from another wonderful woman of faith, Mother Hilda Scott. Wisdom for the Abbey is her segment. First up, though, here's some music from Keith and Kristen Getty. The song Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and I'm so pleased you've joined us this week on The Journey.
Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, I won't spring.
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, Wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
Any commentary on this passage is usually prefaced by the remark that this was an example of righteous anger on the part of Jesus. It seemed as though Jesus was upset that the temple, his father's house, was being polluted. There were slick traders making a tidy sum out of the mandatory temple tax and the quality of the lamb to be sacrificed. You could purchase it in your own town and bring it along, but if it didn't pass the temple inspectors, you had to buy another at the temple at inflated rates. All the profit went to the family business of Annas the high priest. As William Barclay, the now deceased, an eminent Scottish theologian, said, "In all this, the poor, the struggling pilgrims who came to worship the Father were being oppressed, and this is what Jesus detested. He was motivated by a double love for his Father and for his people. Zeal for your Father's house will devour me," the disciples remembered. But what is the Father's house? Where does he live? He lives inside you. You are the Father's house, and zeal for your welfare and your ultimate happiness is what devours God. For the Lord hears the cry of the poor. We can rightly think of poverty in material ways, but poverty is more than that. Sometimes people lack confidence for whatever reason. Some have had things happen which make them feel less than others. Some people suffer from depression and know the horrible agony of tormenting endless nights and the emptiness of the day ahead. Some people go through life with what I call an emotional limp, seemingly lacking the trust necessary to engage in a meaningful way with their fellow travellers. It's all poverty, and we could name even more if we think about it. Our gospel account today tells us that there is, however, good news. Our poverty has not gone unnoticed by God. He rails against whatever and whoever oppresses you and me. Some of the lyrics from the song "The Lord Hears the Cry of the Poor" by Father John Foley, SJ, speak eloquently to this good news. "Let the lowly hear and be glad. The Lord listens to their pleas, and to hearts broken God is near. Who will hear the cry of the poor? Every spirit crushed God will save, will be ransom for their lives, will be safe shelter for their fears, and will hear the cry of the poor." The last line is a direct act of trust, "for you hear the cry of the poor." It is perhaps worthwhile for us all to consider next time we feel oppressed, for whatever reason, that there is a God who is capable of extraordinary zeal in our regard. The important thing is to consistently give him permission to act. The next time you see a sad sight in the streets, remember, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And hopefully the compassion elicited in you will make room for a prayer, giving God permission to work in that person's life. Furthermore, if we are ever tempted to belittle, downplay, or dismiss another in their brand of poverty, remember, God won't be on your side. He will be on the side of the poor. Pray for the grace to feel and see as Jesus feels and sees. May zeal for our Father's house devour us too.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. What a great input, eh? Wisdom from the Abbey. She spoke to us this week about zeal for the Father's house that Jesus had is just like his zeal for us, our welfare and our ultimate happiness, and how he calls us to show the same zeal for others. Thanks to Mother Hilda Scott there. More good stuff like that to come. Darren McDowell will be back with us after the break. He's got a great input for us all about truth and how we engage with it and how we react to hearing the truth, particularly the truth about the kingdom of God. That's coming up after the break. As I said, first though, is a song called I Got Saved by Cellar. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and we're getting along the way, but you're still on the journey.
From Emmanuel's veins, the sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness, all of my guilt was erased, the chains of the past I broken at last, I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I walk? And tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold.
Faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
And now, mission, faith formation and leadership renewal with Darren McDowell.
Have you ever suffered because you told the truth? Been rejected because you stood up for what is right? Alternatively, how have you reacted upon hearing the truth? Have you reacted defensively or angrily? Rejecting or lashing out at the person who spoke truth into your life. That's the funny thing about the truth. Sometimes it calls us to be strong, courageous, and resilient. At others, though, it calls us to be humble, generous, and accepting of our errors or weaknesses and open to change. In both the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, we find examples of the negative responses to the truth. The opponents of both Jeremiah and Jesus react angrily, rejecting and denying the truth which was before them. Even James and John, along with their mother, misunderstand the truth of Jesus' kingdom. James and John could only seek positions of power and authority from where they can perhaps lord it over others, especially perhaps those who don't agree with them. Jesus, in his response to the two brothers, invites us into a new way of responding to the truth. Firstly, by having a deep, personal, and loving relationship with God, who is the truth. Through this relationship, we too discover the truth of who God is, who we are in God's eyes, and what God is asking of us. Secondly, Jesus invites and shows us how to courageously, yet humbly, live God's truth in our lives, serving others with patience, gentleness, hope, and wisdom. Let our prayer be the response of the psalm in Psalm 30, who focuses only on God, calling upon him for help, guidance, and salvation.
And thanks for the feedback that we get from so many of you just talking about how much you love the music, love the inputs. Don't forget you can go to jcr.org.au. You can check us out on Facebook as well. You can access past shows. You can access that God spot again that you just heard from Darren or from Mother Hilda Scott or Sister Susanna earlier in the show. They're all there. 7 years worth of those little inputs and you can get them any time you like. Just go to jcr.org.au. Big cheerio to all of our partnering radio stations right around Australia. Too many of them to mention. And if you're listening in through one of those radio stations, we hope that you've really been blessed by this wonderful ministry that they put out in the airwaves all day, every day. What impact they're having for the kingdom of God. Coming up now is Peter Gilmore. He's going to speak to us about silence. Now, we need to create that silence with Jesus. Let him break into our hearts and really enter deeply into the wholeness of relationship with him. Let's hear that now from Pete Gilmore. Then there'll be some music from the Worship Initiative, the song called Behold the Lamb. After the break, we've got a fantastic speaker to finish off the show, Sister Therese Mills from the MGLs. She's pretty famous. She was on that Race Around the World, the Australian version of it anyway, just last year. She really is a trooper, very, very joyful, and she's going to speak to us about forgiveness to round out the show. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks for joining us on the journey. Plenty more to come.
Now let's live the gospel with Pete Gilmore.
Silence is golden. When you step in front of an amazing artwork or gaze out at a setting sun, the best thing we can often say is nothing. There'll be a time to fill the air with how we feel and what we think, but that initial reaction just to take it all in, the awe, the uncomfortable realization that even with all my emotional and intellectual power, I don't need my words in this moment. Maybe I don't even have words. As the author Thomas Carlyle said, silence is the element in which great things fashion themselves together into the daylight of life. Silence is golden. As we enter into this season of Lent, a time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we often make decisions and commitments about how we will make this time meaningful. Perhaps we commit to attending church an extra day a week, reading the Bible daily, refraining from a dessert we love, or making an effort to reach out to someone in need. All good and important things. But as we find in the Gospel of Luke in the story of Martha and Mary, Martha busied herself with all the things we often busy ourselves with, trying to please Jesus. And what does Mary do? She sits at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus rebukes Martha not because of what she did, but because she allowed those things to get in the way of the one thing she should have done, be with Jesus. All these things we do, all the effort we apply, all of them are meant for one purpose, so that we find ourselves alone with Jesus, even just for a time, so that we can let him love us. You might be driving your car right now, you might be doing the dishes, you might be getting ready to go to yet another appointment, maybe you're even getting ready for bed. That's okay. This week, keep all your Lenten commitments. They're all good things, but let Jesus' words sink into your heart in this moment. Jesus said, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Silence is golden." God bless.
Hi, I'm Sharon from Theodore in ACT, and you're listening to Journey Catholic Radio.
great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Lift you on Calvary's hill, we curse your name and leave it still. You bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for the cross.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, more Lenten comfort with Sister Therese Mills.
In Matthew's Gospel, we hear Peter ask Jesus this question: Lord, how often must I forgive my brother if he wrongs me? So this scripture reminds me of a beautiful story of forgiveness. It's a story of a 70-year-old South African lady whose husband and son was brutally tortured and murdered in front of her. On the day of trial, she was in the same courtroom as the murderer. He stood in front of her. On that day, the judge asked the lady what justice should be done to the man who committed these crimes. The old lady faced the murderer and said this, "I want three things. First of all, I want to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I can gather up the dust and give his remains a decent burial." She paused and she continued, "My husband and son were my only family." The second thing she said, "Therefore, I want this man to become my son. I would like for him to come twice a month to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can pour out on him whatever love I still have remaining in me." Wow. Wait, there's more. Finally, she said, "I would like this man to know I offer him my forgiveness because I have been forgiven." Wow. Jesus Christ died to forgive. The wish of her own husband was to forgive. She knew that her husband wanted to forgive these men. So she said, "I'd kindly like to ask someone to come to my side, lead me across the courtroom, so I can take this man in my arms, I can embrace him, and I can let him know that he is truly forgiven." Wow, what a story. So really, I find that the challenge for us is, as Jesus says, to forgive not 7 times, but 77 times. We are all called to forgive from the heart, and not simply with just our words, or even as a duty, but rather from the heart. Question we can ask ourselves is, who in my life do I need to forgive from the heart? Let's pray. Jesus, give me the grace to forgive from deep within my heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of compassion. Help me, Jesus, to forgive. Amen. So this is by Therese Mills, Missionaries of God's Love Sisters. You can find out a bit more about us on mglsisters.org. Ciao. We'll be right back.
classroom holding us.
That's Jonathan David and Melissa Helser. The song's called The Gospel. That's what they're about, and that's what we're about too. Right from the top of the show when we broke it open, and from all of these wonderful Godspot inputs we had from the likes of Sister Therese, who just spoke to us about forgiveness. What a great story. That South African mother's story of forgiveness has been a model and a real challenge for us to forgive, and to forgive from the heart. Incredible stuff. Thanks to her, thanks to Pete Gilmore, to Darren McDowell as well. Great to have Mother Hilda Scott on the show as we do each and every week. She's just, you know, the mainstay. Sister Susanna Edmonds, her input was fantastic. Loving her stuff that she's prepared right throughout this Lenten season. And thanks to right back at the top of the show to Monsignor Graham Schmitzer who broke open the gospel for us, the Gospel of John chapter 2. We will be doing this all again next week, and I hope you have a great week. Be prayerful. Be fruitful. Love those entrusted to your care. And make sure you join us next week on what is going to be another amazing show. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you have been on The Journey.
The Journey is produced by Jude Hennessy and edited by Max Norton from the office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.